All right, good morning. I will call the order of the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, November 17, 2015, and ask if everybody would please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, let's see. We don't have a Highway 30 closure today. We don't have a Bakken oil pipeline today. We don't have Veterans Affairs restructuring today.
No hog confinements.
Okay.
Just the normal.
John, no trouble out of you. Public comment number one. This is a comment period for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so, please approach the microphone. Seeing no one or no canine moving to the microphone, we'll move on to departmental reports, animal control. Sue and special guest, Molly Toot, Jr.
Yeah. I call her Molly. Okay, well, I brought this little girl in. She's about 4 to 5 months old. As you can tell, she's a very good puppy. She's already house trained. She doesn't chew. She's very lovable. She's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I think I might already have an adopter for her.
That's good.
But anyway, she's a great little dog, and I just like to remind people that instead of going out and buying a dog from a breeder, you know, go to your shelters because they're full of awesome animals, they're full of awesome pets. And give them a chance, like this little girl. She's
Dachshund and what else?
Basset Hound, see the feet?
Oh.
So she's 3/4 Basset Hound and 1/4 Dachshund.
She'll have a good bark to join that puggle in your house.
Yeah, then. I know. And she's over here going, two.
Only if the beagle dies first, so.
So I just brought her today to remind everybody to give shelter animals a chance when you're thinking about going out and buying animals, you know. Don't support what goes on in the puppy mill. Support the shelters and help them find homes for the animals that truly need them. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, Christy's going
to... Oh, it's over, Christy. This is all a ploy. You were singled out today.
Yeah, she's going to babysit, and I might not come back till tomorrow. So... Well, I'll start off with a few statistics here. Find my stuff. Our volunteer hours are 346. Our calls for assistance were 3,402. And those calls for assistance are complaints, concerns, field calls, bite reports, questions regarding pet issues, all those kind of things. So that's a pretty high number. Animals currently in the shelter, 127. Our adoption rate remains at 99%, which is considered, we are now in the no-kill category. That's not our intention, but that has put us there just because we're able to find homes for these animals. And we have the highest adoption rate in Iowa. So, something that we're very proud of. We're going to do another spay-or-neuter clinic. It's funny because I think I've said this before, but many years ago when Fred Matthiessen was still on the board and Jane Halliburton, and I think it was Larry Larson, they said, well, how are you going to cut down on the population of cats? I said, well, we're going to get them spayed and neutered. We're going to keep going with this and going until we can catch up. And 20 years later, 22 years later, we're still fighting the battle. So we have a lot of cats, but we are going to do another spay-neuter clinic this year and after the holidays. And if nothing else, even if we break even, we're just trying to stay ahead of what's going on out there. And we're getting, this has been a really bad fall. Usually around October, kind of the animal flow of cats starts to shut down. And, you know, last week I think we got 15 in. So it's not happening yet. We participated in an adoption event at Petco in early October. And we're also the shelter that they sponsor in the area. And the event was held on a Saturday from 10 to 2. And since it was Petco's 50th anniversary, for every animal that we adopted in those 4 hours, we got $50. and plus our own adoption fee for the county. So it worked out really well. And we received a check in the mail yesterday for $950 from Petco. So we had 19 animals adopted, and thought that was pretty good for just 4 hours worth of work to get $950. Also in October, Pi Kappa Alpha Fraternity invited us to do the Pipe Puppies. This is the first event that they did, the first time they've ever done it. It was held on the central campus close to the campanile. And they fenced off a large portion of that area. And then we brought five dogs with us. The five friendly get-along, go-along dogs. And they were allowed to run inside this huge enclosure. We had little, it got to be kind of warm that day, so we kind of set up little areas where there was shade for them. And the college students, I can't even tell you, I'll get the numbers here in the next week or so, but the college students that were lined up for this, like, were back, you know, just wait, you couldn't even see the end of the line. And they paid $5 each to get in to spend 10 minutes with the dogs. And so, anyway, they gave out Puppy Chow, the fraternity, which I thought was really a cute idea. So as soon as everything, the bills and everything, are paid, then we'll find out how much we made. They're splitting after the bills are paid with us 50-50 down the stretch. And then the funny part of it is, you know, the song Who Let the Dogs Out? It was popular like maybe 10 years ago. And they played that like I don't even know how many times. When I got into bed that night, I couldn't focus on going to sleep because it was like, I just kept hearing, who let the dogs out? So I went out and slept on the couch with the TV on. And so, but it was a good time that was had by all, and the students enjoyed it. And of course, the animals got that extra attention, so it worked out really well. We're also have been invited to several elementary schools during the Christmas season, holiday season for, they're going to take collections from the students, and we always do a little program, a little hands-on, and that's quite popular, and we usually end up with a lot of really good donations that we can use at the shelter. We have SHRA, students helping rescue animals. They bring us food and supplies, and they are, they're in Iowa State, they're at Iowa State. They're a really good organization, and they have awesome student leaders, and that has upped our volunteer hours a lot. They'll come in usually towards the end of the week, but whenever, sometimes now we let them come in the morning when we're cleaning, if that's the only time they can come, and they'll take dogs out for walks and really do whatever needs to be done that, you know, if we have a person gone that day, they'll help fill in. So it's really, they're loving it, and we're loving it, and it's a really good club. And they have also, like I said, brought us a lot of donations. They have bake sales, and they sell T-shirts, and they do all this stuff. So it's a good organization. I'm going to write a letter to the editor of the Daily and just kind of tell them, you know, if there's students out there thinking about it, be sure you get in on this, because this is a really well student-run organization. We finally bought a stock trailer.
Oh.
Yay. Okay, so you know how I won't say cheap and tight I am, because then I always get corrected. So I'll say frugal. We bought a stock trailer, and when I went out and priced them, you know, they were like $13,000 to $15,000, and I just thought for the size we wanted, it was a 6x16. That's just too much, you know. Even though the money's there, why spend it if you can get a better deal? So we got a Kiefer Renegade, which is the very best trailer that Kiefer made. It's the floor, which is very important, and the stock trailer is in great shape. Everything about it is in great shape. It's been taken very well, been taken care of very well. And we got it for $2,500. So that was more my price range, and that made me just really happy. So we don't use it a lot, but in the past, you know, we've had to call people to help us, and, you know, a few times we've had to pay people to help us, and it's just like, I think in the end, you know, this will also be nice if there was ever an emergency and we had to move animals. We've got ample space to move a lot of animals because we can make it into a double decker, so it's really it'll work well for us. We're getting ready for winter, and that's always a lot of things to do. We have to take out the stuff we use in the summer out of the truck and put the stuff we use in the winter in the truck. And we're fixing our traps. It's been a hard year for our traps. A lot of people trying to catch cats, and they're catching One lady caught a badger, which really she just brought back a ball of wire to it. There wasn't much left to it. So we're trying to repair what we can and just get everything ready so we can kind of seal up everything for winter. We're working on an outdoor station right now for animals that are picked up by the sheriff's office sometimes at night. And, you know, not all the deputies care to do it, but some of them will pick it up and say, you know, can you meet me at the shelter or whatever, and we will. And Leanna suggested to me that we maybe have an outdoor area where we could put them. So we're kind of getting one of those ready where it'd be good and secure and warm and, you know, out of the elements. And then if they called us and we were, you know, an hour late or something like that, then they'd have a place to be until we got there. So other than that, I don't really have that much, just business as usual.
Okay. Well, we continue to try to work on permanent location for animal control. I know Cal is doing some research on what kind of retrofitting we're going to have to do to the building you're currently in if we're going to purchase that. That's something we need to move rapidly to a decision so that we can be ready to go in July, wherever it needs to be. Anything else for animal control? So you do a great job. We're lucky to have you.
Well, I feel lucky to be here. I like my job.
Good.
Thanks, Sue.
Thanks.
Agency reports. RSVP is first.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming over today.
Thank you for having me. I've got copies.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Wayne is at an ICAP board meeting this morning, and then he's got Iowa Association of Counties the rest of the week.
Yeah. All right. Well, just wanted to give you a little highlight of our last year. So this is our 2015 annual report. As you know, we have three main services. Our largest and our core service, of course, is volunteer management for 55 and over, and working with about 75 public nonprofit and healthcare agencies, matching up the skills and the interests of our volunteers with the needs in those agencies and the needs in the community. But our fastest growing service right now seems to be our transportation program, and it's featured at the top. Gives you statistics from this past fiscal year. We actually have about 150 clients that are registered, but this past year we had 103 that accessed the service. So a lot of them are registered just because they have us as a backup to their existing support system and really haven't needed us. But they're already on file and they're registered with us, so if they do call, we're able to provide a trip for them. I would say probably 90% of the citizens that we're serving are elderly residents that still live independently but just can't drive anymore. And the majority of our trips are to in-county medical appointments. We have 53 volunteers, and those are across the county. So we have really volunteers in every part of the county and also clients. Of course, the majority of our clients are in Ames, Nevada, and Story City, but we do have some in the outlying communities as well that we're serving. And then our volunteer management for emergencies, what we're calling it now. We've kind of changed the name, started out volunteer management for disaster. That's a contract that we have with emergency management and the city of Ames to provide the management of volunteers in the event of a disaster. And originally, we were more focusing on natural disasters, but we've been able to take that core group of volunteers and cross-train them to meet other needs. So we're also working with public health. So in the event of a pod having to be set up or points of disbursement, our volunteers are also cross-trained to be able to manage the influx of residents who might be coming in to get vaccinated, for example. And then more recently, using that same system to work with the Story County Sheriff's Office and DCI. This really started last year, but it's really been, we've been really working on putting together protocol and some procedures this past year. And so we have about 35 volunteers that are trained to staff a tip hotline. So those phone bank volunteers for non-emergency phone bank have also been trained to staff a tip hotline in the event of a missing or abducted child or person. And then the volunteer reception center volunteers are being cross-trained to be able to mobilize the search teams that might go out in the event that would happen. So it's worked out really well because, as you know, there's not always a natural disaster or an emergency. And so it's a better way for us to keep those volunteers engaged. But we continually have trainings and drills and keep them involved in the system so that they're ready to go when something does happen. And then, of course, I just featured some of the other programs that we work with. Education is one of our focus areas, and we're really going to be ramping up focusing on literacy, especially third grade. And so we're working on that. And I would welcome any questions that you have about what's going on now. Or I probably should mention, too, that this year for the 16-17 asset proposal, we did request an expansion of service that would allow us to support a part-time staff person to assist with transportation, because it's just become so much that we really feel like we need to have a person that's designated to manage those trips and also be able to help us screen clients and drivers. And so that is part of that proposal. It remains to be seen whether that's funded or not, sure. But we did make that request.
Outstanding. No question, just appreciation. The work that RSVP does is makes the community a better place, and I see in here a couple places. The dollar value of the services, the volunteer hours that you provide is, fivefold what's invested in the program. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your support.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Next is JCS. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I'm great. Wait a minute. It could be a little drier.
It feels like winter might actually be cold.
I'll get my stuff.
Okay, no problem.
Glad my daughter's not here. I'd be leaving with a dog, probably.
Yeah. Sue knows exactly what she's doing.
Oh, my
God. Thank you. All right. Well, it's always a pleasure to come, and thank you for your support to the Story County residents, because you really are way ahead of some of the other counties as far as providing dollars for preventative services, and that really is shown in a reduction of caseloads. And we can really focus more on our moderate to high-risk kids. So thank you for everything you do. Budget-wise, we're looking good. We're within specific line items. On all accounts, we are sharing the vehicle with the Story County Community Services.
How's that going?
Fine. In fact, up to this point, we had not used it, but we've got a trip scheduled yet later. So we're using it more when we're transporting families, clients, and then also for community service projects. But it's a great sharing, reduces the cost of the county, but still is serving the needs of the residents. Protective living is the court-ordered detention and the county share of shelters outside of the county. We have spent, since July 1st, juvenile court placements outside of Rosedale have totaled $2,892.30, and DHS placements outside of Rosedale have totaled $8,410.15. We are doing monthly meetings with Rosedale staff, Department of Human Services, and then law enforcement attends those meetings quarterly. And one thing that we are looking at is if a child initially went to placement, say, in Polk County, rather than them staying their entire stay in Polk County, getting them back to Story County as soon as we can. So those monthly staffings are really helping as far as getting kids back closer to home in those cases where we can. There are certainly some cases that we can't because the child may be a run risk, or we've got co-defendants that we need to split up. But we're really looking at how we can reduce those costs to placements, specifically shelters outside of Story County. Sheltered workshop, again, is the county share for the mandated cost of shelter. Story County historically has an agreement with a contract with Youth and Shelter Services that has been a benefit to the county. Certainly the biggest benefit is having a shelter locally. it allows law enforcement to de-escalate crisis situations without always having to charge individuals. It also allows those families in crisis or that need respite care that are maybe older than for the child respite care that over that age of 14 to have options without looking at getting them immersed into the system. We'll start working on the budget for next fiscal year. I just briefly spoke with Deb Shildruff, and we will have her involved in that meeting as we work with Youth and Shelter Services as we move forward to looking at maybe more of the programming, especially those prevention programs, moving under the asset process, because the board funds those either way, but you've just been doing it through multiple streams, and we're trying to streamline that.
Surely remind me, if we decide that we weren't going to do a budget work session with you guys this year, we were just going to try to have you work with Deb, put together a solid budget, and do it that way without the full...
That was the recommendation. I don't know that there was a formal decision made, but I certainly would be okay with that. Deb is very willing to be involved in that meeting. Suggested that we also have somebody from the asset process via us, and I think we can get that information back to you after that committee meets.
Perfect. Thank you.
Juvenile statewide, the budget remains approximately the same. Again, the priorities for juvenile court are to assure community safety, hold youth accountable for breaking the law, and to teach the young person new skills so that he or she will make better decisions in the future and not remain in the court system. The programs that are available are essentially the same. I've listed those there for your review in case you have any questions. Story County DCAT, which, Rick, you're a member.
I'm a member, but I've been four here lately. Holy mackerel, I've missed the last couple meetings, and I think I'm missing the next one.
Are you?
When is the next one?
The third Friday?
Yeah.
Story County DCAT has been in existence since 1998. We did approve at our last Friday meeting the annual plan. I did not include that in your packet because it hadn't been approved by the board yet. But we do have a new website, and so community members can go to storycountyCPPC.com, and the DCAT agendas, the DCAT annual plan, the board minutes, everything will be there. So that'd be a great resource for community members. And just, an overview for some of our folks that are here, DCAT really is responsible for planning, coordinating, and executing and monitoring the child welfare and juvenile justice dollars and programming within the county. The main contract that Story County DCAT has is for the coordinator's position, for the asset coordination, individualized services, school-based mental health services, and transportation contract. And that transportation contract really is a huge benefit.
Yeah, transportation. How is the school-based mental health services going? So this is the first year of that, right?
Correct. And it's going very well. It's really expanded. Natalie was going to follow up to see. I know they've added new schools, but I'm not sure if we're missing any schools within the county. And if so, then LSI will reach out to those schools and just remind them that the service is available.
Okay.
Some of the struggles that we continue to address are children's mental health issues. I briefly spoke to Wayne yesterday. He is on that committee.
Right.
He indicated that they will have their report sent into the legislature in December, but one of the primary issues would be crisis care that they're looking at. As you're aware, the NCOs for the state is changing. Magellan will no longer be the service provider, and we'll have four new NCOs. We are notifying our clients that are in placement who that new provider is. There's certainly out in the public some petitions going around to delay that 6 months, so that's just kind of an unknown area of what direction, but we'll be working closely with the Children's Mental Health Group and trying to determine the NCO and the impact that has with our residents. Our caseloads, as I indicated earlier, are going down thanks to the prevention programs that you have, and in addition to the community welfare emergency services. We also are doing more evidence-based treatment programs in the last 2 to 3 years. We've had several different models come in, and our goal now is to look at, there's some variances in language and just approach, and looking at coming up with a statewide Iowa model without losing the functionality of the program. So, but it's certainly I think the way we're going is the right direction, and it's providing much better and better outcomes for our families. And I welcome any questions that you have.
No questions for me.
No.
It just, we appreciate our relationship with JCS and the work you guys do, and stand ready to help whenever necessary.
Oh, thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Shirley. Next is consideration of minutes, and this is from November 10th and the November 10th city election canvass.
Move approval.
And I'll second. Two.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Minutes pass. Personnel actions as listed.
Move approval.
And I'll second. Two.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Personnel actions pass. Consideration of claims for the 19th.
Move approval.
Second. Two.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda, please add road closure 1642 and 1643 and utility permit 1641.
Move approval of noted addition.
And I'll second. Two.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items, additional items. Consideration of resolution 1625, appropriation amendment. Lisa Markley.
Well, that's going to come back.
Want to spend money.
Soon. You know? Well, not me, the departments do. I have in front of you an appropriation amendment. You originally appropriated 50% at the beginning of the fiscal year when we started this process. We amended some appropriations when we amended the budget. And now I am bringing forward another appropriation amendment, which brings the elected officials, budgets to 100% of their budget. And it brings the rest of the departments, with a few exceptions, to 95% of their budget.
Anything of note?
No, the Veterans Affairs, I have, that one's only at 68.7% of the HIS budget because of the fact that that position, I went ahead and removed that position from the budget. So.
Okay. Questions?
I'll move approval of resolution 1625.
And I'll second. Further discussion. Two.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. 1625 passes. Thanks, Lisa. Next item is discussion and consideration of inmate health medical proposals. Hey, John.
Oh.
How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I don't ever see you anymore since I moved, and we don't go to the same gym.
I know, I'm going down to Yankee, because I'm down in Yankee now, too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I wouldn't see you even if I was showing.
Every once in a while, I still pop up there. All right, just an update. I know we had a month or two ago, we talked about this. The original company, one of the companies we had, since they had been bought out by a larger company, they reassessed Iowa as a possible, and they decided to they dropped all their sites in Iowa. So that's why there's a different MEND was the one that they know of that they recommended possibility of filling our niche since it's a smaller jail. Most of the bigger companies want at least 1,000-bed or 500-bed jail to be able to take. So that's why there's a difference in the two proposals. Any questions? I sent points of discussion. I don't know if you guys want to discuss any of those.
Just, yeah, walk us through. You don't have to get in the weeds, but walk us through the high points.
The first major topic was, as I also talked to five jails that have used each one of these two companies, but the biggest complaint that I received was that on advance was that they do not cover holidays, they do not cover sick, they do not cover vacation. So you're basically left without medical staff on those days.
During that time.
So, and that's why I got it listed as number one, where MEND does. Pharmaceuticals, you'll see that Advanced Healthcare does pay for part of them as long as it's just the day-to-day prescribed medications. They will cover that. If it's something where the psych doctor would prescribe a psychotropic, they will not cover those. And there's some other that I did listed as a medication list. I think I've got a list here with TB treatment, biological cancer treatments, court-ordered cystic fibrosis, hepatitis, HIV, AIDS, and other related disease medications. They will not cover those, of course, because those are usually expensive medications. So the difference there is men does not cover any of the medication, where Advanced will cover part of the medication. We did do a scrub on our medications last year. We ended up, after taking a look at all the medication that we handed out, is about right at $5,000 is what we ended up paying for medication. Next topic is the per diem. Anytime our population gets to a point where it starts to be above, right now it's estimated that our average daily population should sometimes will fall right around 75. If we go above that, of course, it takes more supplies to do us. That's why Advanced actually does charge more if we go over that. If we go under, they also credit us back. Men, the only thing that they ask, they don't worry about per diem unless all of a sudden we would spike and we're at 100 inmates for the next 6 months. Then they would, of course, want to come back with good faith effort to try to renegotiate that because it does cost them more to take care of 100 versus 75 inmates. They're just asking that we would leave it open, good faith effort, if it does happen, that they could come back to the table and say, hey, we do need a little extra money to be able to handle this. Insurance coverage. Men has a higher total amount that they'll actually cover for insurance liability, so not a big difference there, but there is for the general liability insurance. You go from $3 million per occurrence to $6 million versus Advance is only $1 million per occurrence and $2 million for the aggregate. So not a big difference there, but you do have more coverage. So then it comes down to five, where the basic thing is that there's about an $18,000 difference between the two proposals. And if you look at medication, you figure the $5,000 that we end up paying, probably about half or maybe three quarters of that, you'd also have to add on to Advance, and that they probably would cover that. So that's probably closer to around $20,000, probably the difference between the two. And then you throw in, I don't know what the cost that each one of these are going to actually cost out for their nursing care, the mental health social worker. When that person's sick, vacation, or it's a holiday, that comes back where we do not have that coverage, so we don't get credit back from that from Advance either. For versus men, if they did ever have somebody sick, they do credit us back out of our account for that monetary value. So, and then I just wanted to also note number six is that we have decided, since telepsychiatry, these companies are still looking at going into that. This is a separate issue that we'd like to just use the region, and it shouldn't cost us, so it shouldn't affect either contract, because we're just going to basically go through the region and have the state take care of that. The only cost that we'll have accrued associated with telepsychiatry will be the medication. The state and the region will take care of the telepsychiatry, the doctor, but not the actual medication. So if I had somebody that was prescribed psychotropic medication, we would have to pick up the bill on that medication. So, and going through it all, our recommendation is that we want to go with MEND just because of that liability issue of not having that coverage. That's a big chunk for us to swallow. Where right now I do have a nurse that's here every single day of the week, so not every hour, but at least every day I could have somebody seen if there is a medical issue of some sort. So, and a lot of times when people often flex their hours, and the company would be willing to do that as well. If I get 20 or 10 people in, they'd be willing to work over one day and then the next day take a few hours off to kind of work with us, so that way we have that extra coverage.
Yeah, I mean, so it looks to me like we're spending an extra $20,000 to get more coverage, much more on-site coverage, better liability insurance. I mean, to me, Paul, I'd be really interested in your perspective here. To me, that's $20,000 well spent if you're actually spending $20,000 to have somebody there,
right,
and have somebody there as needed on holidays and weekends.
I think that's probably the biggest part is to have availability on weekends and holidays. It's like raising kids. Inevitably, they're going to get sick after hours on a holiday or weekend. And to have that availability, I think, is huge. And the insurance, that's,
And even at $231,900, it's still less than we're currently spending, isn't it?
Correct.
So both of these are better than we're currently spending. And it looks to me like MEND comes the closest to providing what we're currently getting.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Other questions?
All right.
Good job. This is exactly what we needed to put forward.
So we need a motion.
Yep.
To approve the contract with Men Correctional Care. And I would make that motion.
And I'll second it. Further discussion. Johnny, anything you want to add?
Just that I'll work on getting the actual signed copy from him as soon as possible. If that's where we're going to go, and I'll get that down here as soon as possible.
Yeah. Okay, good job.
Thank you.
Two.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Proposal for MEND passes. No other reports today. Public forum number two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action due to the requirements of the open meeting, although we may do so in the future. Anybody? Seeing no one move into the microphone. Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Paul.
Pass.
And I'll pass. Announcements from the supervisors. Paul.
The only decision I need to make today is if I'm going to go to the special meeting for the city council here in Nevada for the continued discussion of the interchange project. So,
well, I'll let you represent us there or not.
Okay.
We've taken our weight in. I did ask yesterday that the letter that I sent on behalf of the board to the DOT be posted online. I don't see Leanne here, but that should be up. If anybody wants to see the letter, just say the word and we'll grab it. It should be available online. No other announcements from me. I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.